Book 1. Joy to the Wordle. Chapter 1. Chevalier.
Thank you. Thank you.
Last words of D.T. Suzuki. Camas, Washington, September 1956. Papa is in his easy chair, reading the Sunday sports page. I am lying across his lap. Later, he will rise to his feet, and the lap will divide into parts: plaid shirt, brown leather belt, baggy tan trousers. But for now, the lap is one thing, a ground, a region, an earth. My head rests on one wide, cushioned arm of the chair, my feet on the other. The rest of me rests on Papa. The newspaper blocks his face from view, but the vast pages vibrate in time to his pulse, and the ball player in the photo looks serious. I ask no questions. I stay quiet. I feel his slow, even breathing. I smell his smoke. On the opposite chair arm, beside my argyle shins, is a small ashtray, an upholstered sandbag with five brass grooves arching over a green glass dish. Papa's cigarette smolders in the center groove. It has no filter. It's called a lucky strike. Past its slow blue smoke is the dining room window. Past the window, yellowing maples and a low gray sky. Past the maples and under the sky, a neighbor man with a pitchfork, burning an immense pile of black limbs and old brown leaves. Papa's hand appears. It hangs above the ashtray. It is blue-veined, black-haired, brown-skinned, scarred, and powerful. It takes up the cigarette and disappears behind the paper. The neighbor man throws an enormous forkful of leaves onto the burn pile, smothering the flames. Papa takes a deep breath. The hand returns the cigarette to the same brass groove, a quarter-inch orange coal on the end of it now, the smoke rising up much faster than before. A dense cloud of white billows up through the smoldering leaves. Papa breathes out. The leaves ignite. Even through the window, I hear them bursting into flame. Papa turns a page. The paper makes the same crackling, burning sound, and I glimpse his eyes before the paper reopens. They are serious, like the ball players. Idly, Papa's long fingers twist the ashtray in a circle. Slowly, the man with the pitchfork circles his burning brush. The hand picks up the cigarette. The man forks more leaves onto the fire. The hand returns the cigarette, folds it against the green glass, crushes the hot coal with the tip of a bare finger. The man stares for a moment into the fire, then sticks his fork in the ground and walks away. The newspaper shudders, closes, then drops, and there is his face. The sun-browned skin and high cheekbones, the slightly hooked, almost Bedouin nose, the strong jaw, still shiny from a late morning shave, a few missed whiskers at the base of each nostril, the gray eyes, clear, kind, already crow-footed, and always just a little sad around the edges. There he is. Papa. There is my father. The screen door slams. I lurch, open my eyes. Newspaper falls from my body. I'm lying alone in my father's chair. He has vanished right out from under me, leaving a blanket of sports page when he left. I look outside. The sky is still low and gray. Yellow leaves still waving. But the burn pile is ashes, and the man and pitchfork are gone. I look at the chair arm. The ashtray is still there, but the green glass is clean. The ashes and lucky butt gone. I can tell by the heaviness of step that it's my brother Irwin back in the kitchen. When I hear the icebox open, I know that neither Mama nor Papa is in the house. I hear him gulping milk straight out of the bottle. Germs. I hear the careful folding and refolding of wax paper round a plate of leftovers. Thou shalt